So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
Let's check in with Joseph Lindsley in Ukraine. I guess the debate was on in the middle of the night your time, Joe. Is there much talk about what happened last night?
Not a lot here, and I didn't watch it. I thought I might try, but if you have a night with no major missile attacks and you can get some sleep, that's a better idea than to watch. And obviously it's a topic all over the world because it affects so much, or it will seem to affect so much that will happen around the world. Every conversation about, say, American politics here is one that's intensely serious, because people, they know, Ukrainians know they need American weapons to put an end to this in a victorious way, and so it really matters what is said in Washington, and I think that there's still a lot of confusion, probably also for people in America, but certainly here, as to which way things will go. And even with there was such a great success about a month ago, as we've talked about many times, in persuading the White House to give Ukraine permission to hit Russians on Russian soil. Back in 2022, the policy of the White House was that would cause World War III. And now that policy has been in place in a limited way. And, we see that there's no nuclear apocalypse, and that Ukrainians have been able to make some gains in protecting places like Kharkiv. We've seen, and actually President Biden, I read through the transcripts of what was said yesterday, President Biden did say clearly, I was surprised, for the first time, he emphasized that, maybe he was listening to WGN, he emphasized that the amount of money, when we say $60 billion or $100 billion to Ukraine, that's not actual money going to Ukraine. That's going to American defense contractors and other things in America. It's a valuation of old things being sent to America. I've never heard that from the White House, so I was surprised by that. And I think with President Trump, and from having spoken with some people in these past months, I think people close to Trump angling to have a position of power if he is elected. They want to know about Ukraine. They don't really have a clear idea of what's going on. They should if they're in that business, but. I think we see sort of Trump's usual style. If you go back to his book, The Art of the Deal, like strategic ambiguity. So that's my best assessment of what I saw there vis-a-vis Ukraine. But I think as we see with most strategic people here, and I think this would apply to people close to President Zelensky, they focus more on, these sort of small gains. And like look what happened in that turning point in April, where Speaker Mike Johnson, who had been kind of lackluster on Ukraine, had a transformation. And I've talked with several people who really were working hard to change his mind, Americans and Ukrainians. And they really, they pushed this story of, what Russians were doing to evangelical Christians in southern Ukraine. And it really does seem that that's what, sort of captivated Mike Johnson. And so much so that he then put pressure on the White House to send these ATACMs, these long range weapons, which, for example, Ukrainians used this week to take out that major Russian observation post in Crimea. So this is, but it does matter, of course, to Ukrainians, who's in charge around the world. And one thing that has them very encouraged is that Kaja Kallas, I probably mispronounced her name. She's the prime minister of Estonia, like Kaja Kallas. She's been a very strong voice for Ukraine. The three small Baltic countries, they suffered under the Soviet Union. They finally got their independence in 1991. She has personal stories. I think her grandmother was deported to Siberia. And she's been one of the strongest voices for Ukraine. And now the European Union has announced that they want her to be the equivalent of the foreign minister of the EU. And this has people very encouraged. A lot of Ukrainians and pro-Ukrainian people wanted her to be the next Secretary General of NATO. That was not meant to be, but she will be most likely. This nomination will be approved by the European Parliament, and she will represent, she'll be the voice of Europe on foreign affairs. And she said, she pointed out the other day, she said, and she's repeated this many times, she said, we should not be afraid of our own power, and we should not overestimate Russia's power. The fear of escalation leads us to make ourselves smaller than we are. That is wrong. And she pointed out that the Russians have three, going back to the days of the Soviet Union, that three tactics that they use in their negotiations. And, you know, probably would be good if people in Washington were aware of this. But she said, first, the Russians demand the maximum. They demand something that has never been theirs. Second, they present ultimatums and they make threats. And third, they don't give one inch in negotiations because they know that there always will be some people in the West who will offer them something in the end. And so all you got to do is be patient. And so she seems to know the Russian psyche pretty well. And soon she might be the foreign minister equivalent of the European Union.
Back to the debate last night, Joseph, I'm wondering how Ukrainians react to Donald Trump repeating his claim that he could end the war in Ukraine if elected. And he also says that Putin would have never invaded had he been president. Any reaction to those comments?
Yeah, well, I think what we've seen, I mean, every time he said that, President Zelensky has said and President Zelensky's been very diplomatic, incredibly disciplined on this, but he said to President Trump, come to Kyiv, and in 24 hours, I'll show you why that can't be done and why we have to win. So I think that's, and then on the question, I mean, it is a historical fact that Ukraine was, the Russia did not have a full-scale invasion of Ukraine under Trump's presidency, but Russia was still occupying Ukraine as they had since Obama-Biden in 2014. And so he's factually right on that, but then also, could things have been better prepared? This is a whole big thing, for Americans to figure out. And remember, of course, Trump's first impeachment was over a phone call with President Zelensky, which is very interesting that Ukraine has been so intimately tied to all of these key moments in American recent history as well.
Mm-hmm. The Biden administration is holding discussions with Israel and Ukraine about the possibility of transferring the aging Patriot air defense systems that are currently in Israel to Ukraine. That has to be taken as good news for everyone there, correct?
Bob, this is actually huge if it really happens, because right now Ukraine only has three Patriot missile batteries, so they can protect Kyiv. They can protect maybe some other military assets. But, this is the biggest country in Europe and only three. If you had eight, all of a sudden you could protect Kharkiv City, Odessa, key military bases, places with F-16s. So if this happens, this is what everyone's talking about today, actually, more than the debate. And if this happens, it would be very powerful for Ukraine in a matter of protection.
All right. We will hope for more good news for you, Joseph, and we'll check in with you on Monday. I hope you have a peaceful weekend.
Thank you, Bob. Until Monday.